Welcome back into Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale from Morning Drive. Corey Curtis from News 2 in for the guys today, along with Julian Council. Fourth and final hour, we're going to get into our pick six coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, handicap this Vols and Missouri game coming up Saturday at Neyland Stadium. And to do so, we welcome in Wes Rucker, Vols 24/7. Wes, we appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing today?
We are doing excellent. I want to start with Jeremy Pruitt because I was a big Pruitt guy. I thought they could get to seven wins this year. A lot of people here thought I was crazy. And then I saw the strength of schedule this year. And as of this very moment, the Tennessee Volunteers have played the second most difficult schedule in the country behind only LSU. So let's just talk about the job Pruitt has done and then factor in how difficult the schedule has been.
You know, I think everything's sort of relative to what you have at that time. And I think when you look at what Pruitt's had to work with, especially when you look at Trey Smith being out a lot of the season and just all the stuff that this team's gone through, for them to be 5-5, I think that's pretty impressive. I'm not saying build a statue for the guy or anything just yet, but I think when you look at it overall, I think you have to be fair about it and say this guy, if he gets them to 6-6, and especially if he gets them to 7-5, he should be in consideration for SEC Coach of the Year. I think he really has done that good of a job.
When I saw this team, I didn't care what their record was going to be. I said, are they going to be better at the end than they were at the beginning? Because I don't feel like I've been able to say that for a while. And that's what impresses me most about the job he's done. Not the record, not the wins, but they look like a different team here in week 9, 10, 11 than they did in weeks 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, and that's hard to do when you don't have a tremendous amount of depth as a team. It's hard to be playing your best ball late in the season when you don't have just a plethora of options to go to. You know, they've kind of duct taped it at a couple positions, but they still look like they're finishing the season not just playing better football, but they look like they're physically stronger, you know, than they were early in the season.
I would agree, and that's big change for me. Their physicality and the way they stand up to people is different.
Oh yeah, they've become a much more physical team. Now, if they lined up, you know, and played somebody like Bama tomorrow, you'd see the exact same result. They'd get run over. But I think, you know, when you look at sort of the average college football team and where they are against that kind of a team, I think they've come a million miles.
Wes Rucker joining us. So, Wes, when Mike Vrabel was hired here with the Titans, a lot of people started saying, oh, okay, you got John Robinson, you got Mike Vrabel, they added a few former Patriots. We're going to see the Patriot way with the Tennessee Titans. You've seen now Jeremy Pruitt in Knoxville long enough, maybe a big enough sample size, maybe not, but would you say that there are a lot of elements of Nick Saban in Jeremy Pruitt? Just how similar has Jeremy Pruitt approached the job as Nick Saban did at Alabama, if at all?
No, I think he's done a good bit because, you know, you look at it, you know, Pruitt kind of says it best. The thing I like about Pruitt the most is his practicality. You know, he is a very practical man who will do the practical thing given an opportunity. And he said that, you know, obviously what Bama was doing is something that works. And that's when you talk about sort of the way they attack the week in terms of when they do certain things, when they go hard, when they back off, how they prepare, when they watch film, you know, how they warm up before a game, just little things like that that, you know, it wouldn't be fair to say that he does 100% of the same things, because there's also some things that he took from his time with Jimbo Fisher and then he took from his time with Mark Richt and some ideas that he's taken from Phil Fulmer, you know, about getting some scout team and young guys practice time at the end of practice to get some reps in. You know, he's taken from a lot of different people. But if you were to ask me who the biggest influence is, it's obviously Nick Saban. And the reason why is Pruitt's a practical guy, and he said, who does it better than Bama? Nobody does. So let's look at some of the stuff they're doing and do some of the same stuff here, I think makes sense.
I want to ask you about the defensive line, because one of my big criticisms the last few years was Shy Tuttle, Khalil McKenzie came in with just, you know, overwhelmingly strong star ratings and projections. And I don't think I saw either one of those guys make a play in 3 years. And this year, I see Shy Tuttle making plays. I see other defensive linemen making plays. And that, to me, is a big difference with this team.
Sure. And I think in Tuttle's case, it's pretty easy what you point to. It said he had two catastrophic leg injuries in about 14 months. And these weren't simple injuries. We're talking broken fibula, several torn ankle ligaments, and then several torn knee ligaments. And he's come back from a lot of physically just catastrophic injuries. And I think he's finally starting to play maybe closer to the way that we thought he could play when he got to Tennessee 3 years ago. But I think he's done a good job. I think Kyle Phillips is another guy who was in that class and was such a huge recruit, a five-star guy. He's come in and played pretty well, even though playing a little bit out of position as a senior. He's done a good job. But I think the unsung hero of that group's been Alexis Johnson. I think that guy has given him a chance to play some football maybe on Sundays with the way that he's played this season. Maybe hadn't been quite as strong the past couple weeks, but Alexis Johnson's been a good football player for this team this season. If you watch film, he's been a guy who's hard to block up front. So those three seniors up front, they're taking a lot of reps because they have to. But those guys have kind of helped this thing. I think Pruitt will always look back at this team and think about those three defensive linemen and think of them as positive guys who kind of helped them change this thing.
Wes Rucker joining us here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So let's look at this matchup on Saturday, because this is certainly a little bit different stylistically compared to last week when the Vols were a small home underdog. Kentucky is a team that wanted to run it. You know, Terry Wilson is kind of limited at quarterback. You look at Missouri, and they feature a quarterback like Drew Locke. So from a matchup standpoint, how do these two teams match up stylistically, and is this a better matchup for the Vols this week as opposed to last week against Kentucky, or is this worse?
I think it's a worse matchup for Tennessee, because and honestly, I hate to look at it as something this simple, but the simple fact is Kentucky struggles to score, and Mizzou sometimes scores a lot of points. And if you're Tennessee, I know they've been playing better offensively, but that's still not what I would call a prolific offense, and so that puts you in a situation where if Mizzou starts lighting up the scoreboard, I think Mizzou scored about 30 points against every opponent this season except Bama and Georgia, and Drew Locke's a good player. So they're probably going to put some points on the board. So Tennessee's going to have to score points to win this game, and I'm not saying Tennessee can't do that, but I said all last week to anybody who would listen, I like Tennessee's chances against Auburn and against Kentucky more than I do against Missouri. That doesn't mean I think Tennessee will lose. I think Tennessee could win the game. But from a pure matchup standpoint, I think there are things about this Missouri team that kind of scare you more.
When you look at the quarterback, Jared Garantano, to me, he's just tough as nails, but he's also a good player as well. Just moving forward, big picture, what do you think he is capable of if he continues to develop as a quarterback and Pruitt continues to add more talent with a few recruiting classes? What's the ceiling on Jared Garantano in Knoxville?
Well, the ceiling is that he could turn himself into a Sunday player. I don't know if a starter, but a guy who sticks around the league for a while. And I think that's the ceiling because – and I wouldn't have said that going into the season. You know, I wouldn't have said that it's impossible, but I wouldn't have considered it likely. I think now he's getting on a path where, especially as a junior, when you see how much football he has in front of him, and you just watch tape from last year and then watch it from this season, it's not even close. The arm talent has always been there. I mean, he's got an absolutely fantastic arm. There's every throw on the field that you need a quarterback to make, he can make it. And he can make some throws that a lot of quarterbacks can't make. So that part of his game is really impressive. People need to stop thinking of him as a dual threat guy, because he's not. He's more of a drop back guy. He always has been. He can run when he needs to, but he's certainly not a Josh Dobbs or anything in that regard. But the one thing he's still got to work on, there are times where you'd like to see him process decisions just a little bit quicker. Because if you look, when he's confident and when he's stepping up in the pocket and when he's keeping his eyes downfield and he's making the right read and putting the ball confidently where he can put it, he's a really, really good passer. He made three or four throws last week that were 100% NFL throws. I know what an NFL throw looks like, and those were NFL throws, just big-time throws. But there are also times where you just want him to scan the field just a little bit faster, you know, get his body clock working a little bit better in the pocket. And those things tend to develop with time. So if you just look at from last year to this year, and you look at how much more time he has to keep kind of improving on that path, he's opened my eyes this season. Because I always knew he was a tough dude, but now he's just turning himself into a pretty good player.
Wes Rucker, Go Vols 24/7. Great stuff as always, Wes. We appreciate the time. And Darren and Donick, they'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you very much.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
You got it. Wes Rucker joining us.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
On who?
On Tennessee. I got Tennessee this weekend. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm in. I know it's a bad matchup, but I'm in. I'm just in.
I love them with the points. I just feel like Missouri by a field goal. I'm a Pruitt apologist.
That's the smart pick, but that's why I said I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay. Is there anything in that Kool-Aid, or is it just Kool-Aid?
Well, hopefully it's just Kool-Aid, because where that saying comes from isn't so good.
Get your picks in now for Silly Underdog Picks before the weekend of college football games begin. Visit thegamenational.com and play Silly Underdog Picks today. The weekly winner will get a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl on Friday, December the 28th at Nissan Stadium. It's all brought to you by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, we'll handicap Mizzou and the Vols, also Vandy, Ole Miss. And then bottom of the hour, it is time for Pick 6. That's still ahead. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Mikhail for Morning Drive, Corey Curtis, News 2, Julian Council with you, leading you right into Jared and the GM. They're coming up in just about 45 minutes. Pick 6 coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll handicap all the college football games as well as the NFL, including the Vols in Missouri, Vandy and Ole Miss, and a handful of others. Some interesting news to get to in a moment. The Constable, Chase McCabe, is going to enlighten our great audience in just a moment. But Corey Curtis, you stumbled across something that could very well affect the Titans on Sunday.
Buck Rising retweeting Zach Kiefer, who covers the Colts. Colts safety Malik Hooker, former first-round pick, missing his third straight practice today, unlikely to play Sunday for a disappointing Colts secondary. That is not an injury they could really afford. That's a big one. They play a lot of cover two, and he's got a reputation as a ball hawk. That could be a big loss for them.
Put me down for 278 yards, 3 touchdowns.
For Marcus?
For Marcus.
Okay. I'll put it down. I will say if they get those numbers, they're walking out of there with a W.
If they don't, that means Andrew Luck went bonkers.
Yeah.
This defense fell apart, and the Colts scored 40 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Chase McCabe, the Constable's in the house. He's got some interesting news if you are a sports wagering fan and you reside in the state of Tennessee. So what do we have, man?
So we mentioned Ricky a lot on the morning show. So of course,
too much
probably. But he sent this to me, and I thought it was interesting that Tennessee saw a new sports betting bill introduced in November 2018 titled the Tennessee Sports Gaming Act. The bill would allow sports wagering, if permitted via a local election. After the bill is formally filed in early 2019, it will be assigned to a specific committee. This is coming from Representative Rick Staples, a member of the Tennessee General Assembly, representing District 15 in the Knoxville area, and he's the one that has authored this bill. He goes on to say a hearing and potential vote could follow after that. According to Representative Staples, his bill has a July 1st, 2019 effective date, and most tax proceeds would go towards funding education programs in the state. Representative Staples told ESPN that the bill could be amended later to include an opt-out for colleges that request one. But this seems to be a major step in sports gambling possibly coming to Tennessee.
It just makes too much sense to not have it. I mean, just think about the revenue that it will generate for the state of Tennessee. And it's, you know, it's not like it was in the 80s, the 90s, even 10, 15 years ago, when it was this, you know, this taboo thing. I mean, for God's sakes, if ESPN College Game Day is bringing out the bear to put up his gambling big board, why would every state in this country not get behind it?
I agree. I mean, times change. They just do. And listen, people have been gambling forever anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We pretend like it's not happening. I mean, it's happening. And I know people, well, if you can say this and blah, 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 blah. Look. No one's getting hurt. No one's getting hurt. And now I'm going to hear from people, oh, gambling's an addiction. Yeah, I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I understand all that. But most people, like with alcohol, can handle it.
Well, I mean, there's a downside to everything, but the pros just outweigh all the negatives.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about creating revenue, not losing revenue. There's a reason we have a lottery in the state, and that's because we were losing all that money going to Kentucky.
The last time I checked, the lottery is a form of gambling.
Yes, and last I checked, I have a DraftKings account. Okay?
Yeah.
But Corey, what happens when Daddy bets on the Knicks, though?
Well, he's a fool.
Gambling's tearing families apart.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things that are tearing families apart. And if we were going to outlaw them all, Broadway would be in big, big trouble.
I mean, yeah. just
they
just,
did that, and that did not work out.
No.
Just go back to the college game this past weekend, the LSU game, when Nick Brissett went down twice. LSU was up 7 points. The line was 12.5 to 13.5. An LSU touchdown would have been a cover. He goes down twice when he could have easily got into the end zone. He basically pulled a Todd Gurley back-to-back plays, and then LSU calls a timeout, tries to run the ball again. He tries to get in. He gets stuffed. And the first thing the announcers are saying on the SEC network, owned by ESPN, yeah. Disney, G-rated, very conservative company. What's the spread?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
TN Nation every week. Mm-hmm. I bring you the spread, the Titans' record against the spread. What's the point total? And I say it because it's relevant, because people care about gambling, and the guys in Vegas tend to be pretty accurate.
And mm-hmm. you guys have probably noticed that since the Supreme Court had their ruling earlier this year, I mean, it's always been there in the media. We've always talked about it. You know, SVP does the bad beat segment.
Yeah.
But it's changed how it's covered. I mean, it's like it's not as taboo now. It's
no.
just, we talk about it all the time on Morning Drive. And just it's normal everyday sports conversation now.
When I was 5, my grandfather handed me his first gold sheet. Okay.
Well, you got started very early.
I went 12-3 that week.
It was a good week.
He made a lot of money.
It was a good week.
He handed me another one the next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were gonna do that with your twin girls.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, fill out daddy's sheet.
Yeah. Pick a side, flip a coin. Take throwing darts at the wall.
Look, it's and I hate to oversimplify it, but why are you going to let other states take your money? Because
exactly.
that's what you're going to do if you don't legalize
that's
it.
That's what Mississippi's doing right now.
Well, there are certain states. Mississippi's one of them because they need money.
Yeah.
Who said why wouldn't we do this?
Tunica's already there. They already have the infrastructure.
I mean, we have New Jersey. I think Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Mississippi, Kentucky's yeah. already talked about doing it because
mm-hmm.
because it'll be
I think
in
Ohio's
that race.
Ohio's looking at it.
It'll be in that racetrack right across the border in Kentucky.
Oh yeah.
So,
I mean, to your point too, you mentioned, you know, the way it was discussed years ago. I mean, Brent Musburger for years in college
yeah.
football.
Al Michaels.
I mean, he'd be calling a game that would be 38-10, and he'd be like, "All right, stick around because there's a few people that this game really matters
yeah.
to." And it's like, wink, wink, you know, nod, nod. You know who he's talking about.
Could you imagine a facility on the river right across or right next to Nissan Stadium, you know, where you could just go and place your wagers and drink and have wings and whatever all day long? I mean, it'd be fantastic.
Well, and I can tell you just if they're smart business people at all, everyone that owns something on Broadway, they have walked in their building and they have looked around and they've gone, okay, where can I fit this stuff? Where mm-hmm. could I fit a sports book? You know, if this happened, where could I make this happen? I mean, I think people have to think that way.
Well, if you also look at it from the standpoint of just think about how many people that do in-game wagering.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about betting a game on Wednesday that kicks off on a Saturday, but you know, you're betting second half totals and all these other things. You go to one of these new arenas. I mean, we've seen leagues now. We've talked about the NHL, mm-hmm. the NBA that are partnering with casinos.
Yeah.
Imagine the stadiums and venues holding places where you can actually make a wager on site.
They already do it in England.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, it's the in-game wagers that do extremely well at those places. Because at halftime, people go and they place their next wagers.
I've been known to do that
mm-hmm.
so,
from time to time.
So, yeah, I mean, there's demand for it. I mean, so what are we waiting for?
It makes so much sense. So
the other thing, too, with it is, I you know, is as publicly advertised as it is, you know, it's become more and more the norm and accepted. You know, I don't think it really changes. Just because it's more accessible, I don't think it's going to become like this rampant thing that over engulfs the sport.
Yeah.
I still think, you know,
I think that gets overblown. I think it gets completely overblown.
From a broadcast standpoint, so forth and so on, we see like games that are put up, you know, like on the bottom line, so-and-so against so-and-so, -4.5, but it won't become the predominant thing.
Listen, for years we heard that pro sports weren't going to go into Vegas because of the gambling element. The NHL is there. The NFL is headed there. If there's a gambling element, that wanted to get to a player. It doesn't matter if that player is in Vegas or Chicago or in New York or Miami. Mm-hmm. We are in a very mobile society. They can get to those guys. That's all ridiculously overblown.
And I can tell you right now, the NBA and baseball, they will follow. I mean, they'll be in Vegas.
If Vegas gets big enough, and if they actually have water in 20 years, they can go there. I don't understand why we're moving to places that don't have water.
Well, if the NFL is going to relocate a franchise to Vegas, if baseball follows...
Dude, baseball's it's the been like, Raiders. You think they're going to be there in 20 years?
In Vegas?
Yes.
You never know with them.
I think in 20 years, they're gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think they'll go somewhere else because they're the Raiders.
Well, I'll tell you, if baseball follows suit and baseball, I mean, for years, I mean, Pete Rose was banned from the sport for betting on his own team and so forth and so on. If Major League Baseball gets in bed, and I believe every Major League Baseball clubhouse has signs up saying you do not gamble on baseball, do not bet on sports. If they join in on this and they find a way to cash in and create revenue off of it, it just opens up the floodgates big time because they've been so staunch against it.
Yeah. Well, baseball is the epitome of old guy, get off my lawn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's changing a little bit, though, slowly, but it needs to.
All right, coming up next, we're speaking of gambling. It's time to make some picks. It's time for the Pick Six segment. Now, Julian Council, you're going to have to fill me in on this, because is this the segment where we do the top shelf?
Yes.
Okay. Because I've listened to this, but I've never participated.
Me either.
You will today. Yeah, we had three college, three pro.
So we do three college next and then three pro after that.
All at the same time.
All at once?
Yeah.
I love it.
If it stretches to two segments, it stretches, but we'll try and condense it to just one.
No. We don't got to condense.
Okay.
We could do a whole hour on gambling.
By the way, more breaking news.
We have more news?
Joe Rexrode, our good friend at the Tennessean, has just tweeted out that Mike Vrabel says that Jack Conklin has been cleared for Sunday.
Okay, there we
Good go. News.
Titans by 10. I'm changing my pick as we move along throughout the show. First, it was Titans by 4. Then Mina Kimes tweeted out hashtag Titan up.
And then it was they were down by 16.
Colts by 2 scores. Now Jack Conklin's good. I'm back on the Titans. Pick 6 coming up next. Stay there. Welcome back in. Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nikhil Corey Curtis in for the guys today. Julian Council. Good to have you in. Taking you right up to Jared and the GM. It's time for Pick 6. Julian Council, I'll let you lead things off. This is your baby.
Yeah, so we have folks on the line right now. Guys, not going to do calls this week. Only going to do it online. So if you go online to thegamenashville.com, you go fill in for a Pick 6. And I think we have Jack White is our prize this week. So Jack White at Bridgestone Arena. So go online, thegamenashville.com, do Pick 6. We've gotten all of our winners from online. So all of you have called, unfortunately, have not been able to win. So we just do that this week. Just do online. And next week, when Darren and Willie are back, I'll be out. We'll figure out what we're going to do then. But this week, we're only going to do it online. I just want to review from last week for all the folks out there who have been listening and following our contest weekly. Last week, we had Vanderbilt at Missouri. Mizzou was 15.5-point favorite. As we know, Vanderbilt ended up losing that game in a close one. Mizzou came back to win. All of us picked Vanderbilt, me, Willie, and Darren. Kentucky at Tennessee, had Tennessee 4.5. Tennessee, all of us took them, and Tennessee, of course, blew out Kentucky in that game. Ohio State at Michigan State. Michigan State was getting 4.5 at home. I took Ohio State. Darren took Ohio State. Willie took Michigan State. Willie was wrong as Ohio State won that game in convincing fashion. Clemson at BC, 27-7. Clemson won that game on the road in Chestnut Hill. Boston College was getting 17.5 at home. All three of us took Boston College. All three of us were wrong. Pats Titans. Titans were getting 6.5 at home. As we all know, Titans blew out the Patriots, 24-point win. All of us took the Patriots, so we're all wrong. Then Colts-Jags, Jags at the Colts. Colts were a 2.5-point favorite. I took the Colts, Darren took the Colts, Willie took the Jags. So in conclusion for the week, I had 4, Willie had 3, Darren had 5, meaning through our totals through 11 weeks of the college football season and 10 through the NFL season, Darren's in the lead at 43, I'm behind him at 39, and Willie is in the rear at 32. So this week, Nick, Corey, welcome to Pick 6. So basically how it works, we have 3 college, 3 NFL against the spread. Simple concept. You just talked about gambling. I think you know how it works.
I think so.
The whole top shelf deal that we do is if you say top shelf, you're basically guaranteeing, like it's a booking that's going to happen. You get 2 points for a top shelf. So if you think Tennessee is going to cover this weekend, and you say top shelf, there's no doubt in your mind, you're basically saying that they're not only going to cover, they're going to win outright, essentially.
So if you, win, you get 2 points as opposed to one.
Yes.
Okay.
As opposed to one. So and this week, for folks who are going to be online, our game total, which we do weekly, will be the Titans game once again as they face the Colts on Sunday. So leading off with
number one.
We have MTSU right here tomorrow on ESPN 102.5. The game at 11 o'clock, right, Nick? They're bumping, or at 10 o'clock, they're bumping us off. So Saturday tailgate's only an hour tomorrow, presented to you by Mafiosi's over in the factory in Franklin and over on 12 South. So they're bumping us off for an early for a pregame starting at 10 o'clock, kickoff at 11 against Kentucky. Then Kentucky Wildcats up there at Kroger Field or Commonwealth Stadium are 15.5-point favorites over the Blue Raiders.
That's come down a little.
Yeah, it was 16.5 initially, right?
Yeah.
So maybe closer to 17. So who's going first? How are we going to do this?
You will go first.
Okay, I will take MTSU plus the 15.5. This is a team that's playing good football right now. Kentucky has clearly been deflated from the Georgia loss. That carried over to the Vols loss. So I will grab MTSU plus the 15.5. I don't think they win the game outright, but I think they keep it to with right around a 10-point game. So give me MTSU.
I respect the Kentucky defense. I love Coach Stockstill. I love Brent Stockstill. I have a hard time with this, but I 15.5 is, oh, man. Give me the Blue Raiders.
Okay, Blue Raiders.
Give me the Blue Raiders.
Middle has struggled against FBS competition.
Yes.
To say the least.
Yes.
So Kentucky, even after back-to-back losses, losing a heartbreaker to Georgia, and again, that wasn't close, and then going up to Knoxville, Neyland Stadium plays hadn't won since 1984, thinking maybe this is the year, and they still couldn't do it. I think they bounce back, and they win this game by 3 touchdowns against the Blue Raiders tomorrow.
It is a Kentucky line. That line does tell you to take Kentucky.
They're a much better team up front, and I just don't think MTSU can contend with them in the trenches. So.
I agree with 99% of that.
Thank you.
Number two.
Mizzou at Tennessee. Missouri somehow is a favorite on the road. The Vols are getting 5.5 at home. A win will give them bowl eligibility. Nick.
Real quickly, because I don't want to use my top shelf if there's something I like better. What's the third college game?
The third college game is Ole Miss, Vanderbilt. We have Titans, Colts. We have Steelers, Jags, Chiefs, Rams.
Okay.
You can do it at the end.
And you can only do top shelf on one college and one pro, or just one total?
Just one.
Just one total.
Oh, yeah. And for the listeners at home, I actually took Kentucky top shelf. So
okay.
While Willie and Darren, Willie took middle, and Darren took Kentucky, his alma mater.
Give me the Vols plus 5.5.
Okay, false 5.5.
I also like Tennessee with the 5.5. I think they can win that game, but I certainly think that they'll stay within a field goal. So I like the 5.5.
I think it's crazy to think Tennessee might win 7 games, because I was been on the 5-7 train.
And who said the Jeremy Pruitt would win 7 games his first year?
I think that was Nick Gale.
Saying that since February.
This
right?
guy also said Texas would want to win the Big 12.
Texas was back. They're not back. They were back. They're not back.
They're back. On track.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Tennessee to win this game outright, actually. So not only do they cover, they win outright. So Tennessee, the 5.5.
Passing the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Ole Miss on Weston. Likely going to be a ton of Ole Miss fans down there, as there always is when there is a road team in the SEC there at Vanderbilt Stadium. Vandy is a 3.5-point favorite.
Wow.
According to DarrenMcFarland.com.
Well, that number's different, because this morning on Morning Drive, I took Vandy.
Well, let me check that again.
Minus 2.5.
Let me check that again. But look, he gave this to me like 2 days ago, so yeah. It's probably changed, but that's what he gave me. 3.5. So 3.5.
Can I take Vandy minus 2.5 on Morning Drive and then take Ole Miss plus 3.5 and try to hit a middle?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a different show, man.
Okay. Well, it's different numbers.
I'm going to be a total scumbag here. Give me Ole Miss plus 3.5.
That point is a huge difference.
It is.
It's a massive difference.
Yes, it is.
And I will also take Ole Miss plus the 3.5. I think this game's 3 points either way. So whichever team's getting 3.5, I'm taking it.
Okay. I'm taking Vanderbilt to win this game. No, I like Vanderbilt. I think that it's gonna. Hey. It would be awesome, because I really want both teams to go to a bowl game. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
but also the drama for next week to have Tennessee lose tomorrow, Vanderbilt win, both teams 5-6, playing on West End for a chance to go to a bowl game. One team goes to Shreveport, the other team goes back home.
wait, which one wins and gets to go home and goes?
Or potentially Memphis, maybe the Liberty Bowl. Okay. But until further notice, I'm going to keep saying Shreveport. So okay. I'm going to take Vanderbilt. As far as what Darren and Willie, the picks before, they took Willie took Tennessee top shelf. Darren took Tennessee. Willie took Vanderbilt, of course. And Darren took Vanderbilt.
All right.
Going on to NFL.
Number four.
Number four on our list is the Titans at Colts. For our folks doing this online, this will be your game total. We don't have to give a game total. Titans are a 1.5-point dog on the road at Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday against Andy Luck, who is their daddy, according to ESPN's Mike Wells, and the Indianapolis Colts.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
I'll go first on this.
Okay.
I'm taking the Titans.
No.
Hashtag tighten up.
Julian Council?
I've taken the Titans before. I don't take them
double
all the time.
Double dose of Kool-Aid.
I'm taking the Titans. I'm buying them to win this game in Indianapolis. You know, a game that historically they haven't won, whether it's been Peyton, whether it's been Luck. I think they get it done this weekend. The way that defense is playing, number one scoring defense in the NFL, and the fact that the offense is now starting to finally click and they realize mm-hmm. that Deion Lewis is best back for them. I like them. And Mariota is finally healthy. So I'm going to take the Titans to win this game. I actually will say they win this game by a touchdown.
The Colts couldn't stop Chase McCabe if their existence of their franchise was on the line. So who makes a stop in this game? The Tennessee Titans, number one defense in the league. Andrew Luck's going to get his, but I still think the Titans win. Give me the Titans 27-23, so I will take the 1.5.
The closer we get to game day, the more I feel good about the Titans. I will take the Titans happily and the point, and depending on this next line, it may be my top shelf.
Okay.
And are we thinking, like, this win right there for the Titans, whether it makes them, 6-4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that kind of make you feel like they're definitely on track to be a playoff team once again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even despite, like, so even if they win this game and drop next week against Houston, which
then
is a long way.
They're still good.
They're still good.
They're still good.
Okay, cool.
Number five.
Our fifth game of the week, we have the Steelers. No longer having to ask questions or answer questions of Le'Veon Bell. He did not show up. He left $14.5 million on the table. You can like that. You can love it. It's not your life either way. But the Steelers are moving on to face against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were their kryptonite last year, not only embarrassing them in Pittsburgh early in the season when Ben Roethlisberger said, maybe I just don't have it anymore, but also beating them in the AFC divisional round in January. The Jags are getting 5.5 at home against the Steelers.
Yeah, that line tells me all I need to know. I'm going to lay the 5.5 on the road with the Steelers. No more distractions with Le'Veon Bell. They're clicking. I don't think they are a legit AFC championship caliber team, but the Jaguars are a dumpster fire, so give me the Steelers. I'll lay the 5.5.
See, I struggle with this one because they burned me twice last year mm-hmm. when I thought there was no way that the Jags could beat the Steelers, and they clobbered them. But this is my feeling. Either the Jags get it together and win, or they get annihilated. I don't see a close Steeler victory. Mm-hmm. If the Steelers win, they are going to more than cover 5.5. And so what do I think is a better chance of happening? The Jags falling apart or getting it together and beating one of the hottest teams in the league? Give me the Steelers.
There you go.
There you go.
Old grudges and gambling.
By the way, Willie took the Colts. Darren took the Titans. Willie's taking the Steelers while Darren is taking the Jags top shelf. I'm also going to take the Steelers. The Jaguars, they are in shambles. You have Blake Bortles trying to keep up with one of the best offenses there, and the defense has not nearly been as good for Jacksonville as we expected it. Jalen Ramsey, I'm disappointed. I loved when he was talking all this junk in the offseason. I thought it was hilarious. And even if he was still losing, he was talking trash, I'd still love it. I just don't love people being complete front runners and not saying anything when you start losing. Just answer the question. So, still love you, Jalen Ramsey, but I'm going to take the Steelers to win this game and continue their winning streak in the AFC and move towards potentially getting that first round bye in the AFC playoffs.
Number six.
Our final game of the weekend is also the game of the week in the NFL. Moved from Mexico City, which I don't understand why they're trying to play games in Mexico City anyway. Obviously, the almighty dollar sign is the only thing the NFL cares about. But they show they care about player safety a little bit. And they're going to be moving this game now to the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. No USC game, so no worry about the field this weekend there on Monday Night Football as the Chiefs are facing the Rams. The Rams are a 3.5-point favorite at home.
So that's been moved from Mexico back to L.A. Goff against Patty Mahomes, 3.5.
And let's also weigh this with the Rams. They've gone through a lot with the wildfires there in Southern California, also the shooting at Thousand Oaks. They were actually preparing for altitude for Mexico City. So they had flown out to Colorado Springs.
Stayed there.
They stayed there all week?
Yeah, they didn't come back.
Okay.
Yeah, even after the game got moved, they decided to stay there.
So still, extra travel either way.
The Rams do not have a big home field advantage, right? They don't have a big crowd. A lot of times the opposing teams can come in there and...
I don't know. I mean, yeah. L.A. loves a winner. And I think
they're
LA,
winning now. So.
L.A.'s on board. I mean, and also, I will say, the Rams are L.A.'s team. I mean,
yes.
In the NFL, they identify with the Rams. There is no question about that.
Not the Carson City Chargers.
No. Or the Raiders. I mean, they have fans with the Raiders. But it's the Rams' town.
Passing game, Goff, Mahomes, air quality in issue. Maybe it could be, I don't know, do you guys think this will be a factor with the wildfire, like from the on-field product? Because remember this past week in the Monday night game, the NFL said that the air quality was still poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that's a factor on how this game is played?
You know, it makes you think because they're going to play at altitude. They were planning on playing at altitude. Like, what is the difference between, like, that kind of factor to compare to the factor of the air quality in L.A.? Because, I mean, air pollution is a problem in California 24-7.
I have been to games in horrendous rain, horrendous snow, horrendous cold. The ability of NFL players to perform, no matter the conditions, always astonishes me. So, no.
Okay. You know what? This is not my show. This is not my segment. Give me the Rams -3.5 and give it to me top shelf.
Okay, Rams top shelf. Nick's going that. I'm also going with the Rams. I've already used my top shelf. But I like the Rams winning this game at home.
I have swung dramatically in the last 30 seconds. I love the 3.5 points. Give me the Chiefs and give it to me top shelf.
Chiefs top shelf from Corey Curtis.
Like it.
Okay. So
like it.
Willie goes with the Rams while Darren goes with the Chiefs. So
that Rams run defense is not good.
I'm really hoping that we have a shootout.
You're going to get it.
I'm just hoping that, air quality aside, the fact that they've been moving from Colorado Springs to wherever, I want this game to be the game of the week, even though I'm probably going to miss part of it because I'm going to the Hornets-Celtics game, but whatever.
Wait a minute. Now, what time is this game?
8:20 Eastern.
Is this the Sunday night game or the Monday night?
Monday night.
So you're going to miss the best Monday night game of the year for a meaningless, NBA game in November.
I got to go, man.
Are Eastern Conference playoff implications on the line?
This is like one of the two times I have
the
all season long
The all-important three
to go.
Seed? Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord.
Forgive me.
All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Final thoughts. Stay there. It's Darren and Donick Show, Nick, Corey, and Julian, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final moments on a Friday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick, Nick Hale from Morning Drive, Corey Curtis, News 2, Julian Council, Jared and the GM coming up in just about 10 minutes. Final thoughts here. So let's go rapid fire. Final thoughts. Titans Colts, Vandy, Missouri. The Vols, Missouri, Vandy, Ole Miss, and then the big weekend of football. Your big thought, your big takeaway, or what you're expecting. Let's start Sunday. Titans-Colts, for me, comes down to which quarterback continues to have elite-level success on third down. Gave you the number earlier in the show. Marcus Mariota has been the fifth-best quarterback in the NFL on third down this year, converting third downs into first downs. Andrew Luck has been number two. Which quarterback, and coincidentally, which defense can get off the field, that will be the key for me. That's why I lean Titans by about 4.
Do the Titans show up, number one?
Well, if they don't show up, that's on Vrabel, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. Have they matured? That's the first thing I want to see. Do they still commit to the run game? Is it still run first? And then defensively, can they cover like they did a week ago? If they do those three things, they're going to walk out of Indianapolis with their first win over Andrew Luck.
That would be, I guess you can't be totally surprised at anything with this Titans team this year because they've been so up and down. But if they came out flat and just got
not be a even, massive not, disappointment.
Not even boat race by the Colts, but if they lost,
if they just don't play well,
right? If they lost 26-13, I would actually be shocked.
Yeah, I would be shocked. I think you would hear all the fans once again saying, "I'm done with this team. Mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore." It would be shocking. Look, they could lose and play reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could lose a 28-27 game and go, "Well, that's disappointing," but they showed up. Mm-hmm. I think that's possible.
The Vols and Missouri, Neyland Stadium. It's the SEC on CBS Game of the Week. And surprisingly, the Vols have had a handful of games this year where they've been on CBS as the, quote, Game of the Week.
That's shocking.
It really is, because they say it's the best game from the best conference, and it's just hard to believe that
a winless team the year before. Yeah.
A winless team could be the best game each week, but they've been on. So I think it's a matchup issue from the standpoint of, I don't like this defense against Drew Lock. I think it's a really close game. We did the picks. I took the Vols with the points, but this feels like Missouri by about a field goal.
Senior day, they feel good about themselves. They don't feel like losers anymore.
But they should have felt good about themselves when Florida came into town celebrating a 20-year anniversary of the national title team, and they got steamrolled.
Yeah, but that they didn't beat Auburn. They didn't beat Kentucky before that game.
That's true.
They have skins on the wall now. They believe in themselves, and guess who else they believe in? Their head coach and their quarterback. I don't know if they win, but I certainly like them with the points.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Tennessee pulls off a shocker and wins again.
I am certainly rooting for that to happen. I am a Pruitt guy. I make no bones about it. But I'm really rooting, and I think for all the things this weekend, if I had to root for one team and one game and one coach, I'm rooting for Derek Mason to beat Ole Miss, because I want to see him have success, string things together, get this team to a bowl game. Vandy, Ole Miss, this just feels like one of those games that I don't expect either team to stop each other. Can Kyle Shurmur out-duel Jordan Ta'amu from Ole Miss? It's going to be close, but I'm going to go Vandy.
Listen, this is the game for Vandy really every year. This is kind of one of those swing games for them. You know, that's the traditional game they have against the West. And can they beat Ole Miss? Can they beat Kentucky? Those are kind of the two games every year that are going to decide if Vanderbilt is a bowl team. This is an Ole Miss team that Vandy needs to beat. All right?
Oops, sorry, are you done?
Sorry. No, I'm almost done.
He pointed to me and I just started talking.
That's my fault.
Give the ball to the Mamba. Give it to Keyshawn Vaughn. Win the game. I like Vandy by one.
25 touches?
25, give him 40 for all I care. Give that kid the ball, win the game. Vandy by one is my call.
Feed Kobe. Give it to the Mamba. Also important, like locally, best scenario is Tennessee wins tomorrow, Vanderbilt wins tomorrow. Then Vandy-Tennessee, well, basically, Tennessee's already in, and then Vanderbilt. I know Tennessee fans don't want to hear this, but Vanderbilt also wins. Both teams go to a bowl. Then the rivalry kind of gets some gasoline poured on it, because bowl ties, Shreveport or Memphis. Memphis takes Tennessee. Vandy goes to Shreveport. Vandy gets ticked off by that. Adds fuel to the fire for next year.
We just punt.
Final one.
Say it.
The biggest question of the entire weekend. It has nothing to do with the Titans, the Vols, Vandy. This is a paramount decision.
Uh-oh.
Does Nick Saban actually start Tua Tagovailoa?
Yes.
Oh, hell yes.
I'm telling you, there's no upside to doing it. I think it is the dumbest thing Nick Saban has done in a long time.
But look, when you are egomaniacal and driven to bury everyone into the ground and I think this is what he will cite, treat every opponent the same.
Yes.
He's going to do it.
But it's the Citadel. It's complete BS.
You don't have to convince me. I'm talking stupid coach speak.
But if you could get Saban.
Did you watch Major Applewhite rip a jacket off of his very best player last night? This is what we're talking about.
Well, let me say this, though, because I think people talked about how Tua hadn't played a fourth quarter and he had to play against LSU. And the score line, we knew the game was over. LSU was going to score. I think he mainly played because of the health and status of Jalen Hurts. That's still in question. I feel like if Jalen Hurts is healthy, that Tua is definitely not going to play tomorrow. But the fact that they don't want to go out there and throw their third stringer, Mac Jones, who, yes, should be able to play and beat the Citadel, but still hasn't looked great when he's coming to games. Yes, Should. Yes, I know.
Julian, you could play quarterback for Alabama and win this Saturday.
Whoa, I'm better than Mac
Alabama
Jones,
could
man.
Come out with a wishbone on Saturday against Citadel with Julian Council at quarterback.
They could run a guard at
Jared
quarterback.
Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, Corey Curtis, and Nick Cale in the backfield. We go full house. We would still beat the Citadel.
All I'm saying is I feel like the fact that Hurts isn't healthy is part of the reason why he's planning on playing him.
Terrible.
Be upset, if he doesn't get hurt, then...
If he gets touched, that's on Saban.
If he doesn't get touched and he doesn't get hurt, then this is all for nothing.
No. Good stuff, Corey. Really enjoyed the last 2 days.
I enjoyed it as well. You have a happy holiday season.
You as well. Darren and Donick will be back next week. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.